everyone, and welcome back into a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined by one of our favorite theater companies, and they're bringing a brand new work. And to speak to us today about this work, we have the playwright Reed Tang and the director Tadian Cohen. They're here to talk to us about NatCo and Long Wharf Theater's presentation of Isabel, which is playing June 20th through July 6th at the Abrams Arts Center. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting natco.org. We absolutely love any chance we get to speak with NatCo. They never disappoint on their productions, and this show is no exception. So with that, let us welcome on our guests, Tadian, Reed, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Yay! Amazing. Thank you for having us, Andrew.
Thank you both for joining me. I'm so excited about this. The minute this hit my email, I literally was on it, and I was like, how do we set this up? Because I want to let everyone know NatCo does amazing productions as well as Long Wharf Theater. We've been huge fans and had the honor of speaking with them as well. So two incredible companies coming together to put on this amazing work of yours. So Reed, why don't we start with you first? You're the playwright. Can you tell us a little bit about what Isabel is about?
Yeah, sure. I have like a straightforward version and a mysterious version, and I prefer to give the mysterious version, which is that this play is about strange staircases in the woods and creepypasta and kind of scary things that you cannot explain.
I love that. Reed, where did you come up with the idea to pen this piece?
Well, I guess that gets us back to the creepypasta, which is the one where someone is pretending they're like a park ranger and they're telling, like, kind of warning people about stuff they gotta, you know, look out for in the woods. And, you know, they talk about these mysterious staircases that just appear in the middle of nowhere. They don't come from any house that's decayed down to the staircase. It's just a staircase. And everyone is always telling you, like, don't go near those things. Don't, like, touch them. Don't even look at them. But no one ever tells you why. They're just like, don't do it. And yeah, so I, late at night, was reading this creepypasta. I was like, half convinced it was real, because I think that's part of the experience with creepypastas, that you're like, surely this is actually real. And I'm just, you know, and I live in a world where if I go in the forest and I see the staircase, something could happen to me and I don't know what yet. And yeah, that's kind of where it started. And it, you know, I guess it helped me think through, I think, things that were happening, thinking through my gender and my body and just like experiences that can't really be articulated. And I feel like horror and like creepypasta kind of does that. It helps you talk about stuff that you just can't, like experiences within yourself that are like, that can't be articulated in a straightforward way. And so you kind of have to tell like a weird little story so that other people try to understand.
I love that. Who doesn't love a good thriller? That is fabulous. Tadian, let me ask you, how did you come upon this piece?
Ah, yes. Reed and I met, we actually don't remember exactly the moment that we met in person, but we met on Zoom. We were part of New George's Jam. Shout out to New George's. We were in an artist cohort and we, yeah, saw each other Zoom box to Zoom box and started just to talk and like collaborate within the context of that jam and artistic space. And then Reed, yeah, asked me to direct a reading or a workshop of this play. And so I got to read Isabel for the first time. And I was immediately struck by the play. I remember being both thrilled because I am a creepypasta Reddit, like I am a chronically online person, but also like not, I'm 31. And I think just like being a 31-year-old trans person who grew up enough without a cell phone and without like ubiquitous internet and then morphing into a period of adulthood and then second puberty and transition with full access to that, I felt a real kinship to just like the specificity of the journey that Reed was presenting, and that it was not like jazz hands, capital G, like gay, or capital T, trans. Sorry, this is moving shady now, but not like, yeah, like we're gay with a moral, but like We're trans with a dildo, we're trans with a backpack, we're trans in the morning and we're trans at noon at night. So yeah, I immediately loved the play the first time I read it, and it was really exciting to get in the room over some early workshops and readings to hear it out loud with actors. And that was 3 years ago. I feel like that was the first time, 2021 in September,
yeah.
December? Yeah, something late is when we first got in a room together and heard this play out loud. So yeah.
That is fabulous. I love it. Now, at the time of this recording, we are just over 2 weeks away from the show opening. I'm curious to know, Kedian, what has it been like developing the piece and getting it up on its feet?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very lucky. Reed is a playwright who is in the rehearsal room every day. And that is a really special gift to be working with the support of NatCo and the full team, to be able to have workshopped this play and then get in the rehearsal room and be all together. I don't know. It's been a really sweet, we're halfway through our third week of rehearsal. And I think what's been so amazing is just going from a casting process, finding the three actors that we have performing this work. They are tremendous and a truly spectacular group of humans. Haruna Lee is playing Isabel. We have Sagan Chen as Matt. And then we have our friend Nini making their off-Broadway debut first as Harriet. And yeah, an amazing group of actors. And that has made the rehearsal process and having Reed here all the more just exciting. And I feel grateful to step into the room every day. And it's felt very playful. But you said 2 weeks from opening, and I immediately got that joy, that panic, that excitement. We do have our first spacing rehearsal in the theater on Monday. And so now my mind has sort of jumped ahead into that moment of time, trying to remind myself to be present. But this group of humans is beyond ready to tell this story. And so the audience is definitely the missing piece, and really excited to share this story with audiences in particular.
That is wonderful. Yes, the train has taken off down the tracks. There is no stopping now.
No. Reed,
I'm curious to know, is there a message or a thought you're hoping that audiences will take away from your piece?
I guess I just want them to be confused about gender. I mean, it's what Keaton was saying. I think I don't know that there is like a clear thing that I'm like, there's a clear moral, I guess I should say. There's a clear like statement about how things are supposed to work, you know? And I feel like conveying that there is confusion and there is fear and there is like a lot of not knowing, and that's fine, you know? It's not like you don't have to have it figured out. It is scary, but not in a bad way, if that makes sense. Yeah, I just... Yeah, like, you know, yeah, we're gay, we're scared about it, but it's fine.
That's wonderful. Kedian, anything you'd like to add to that?
I think mostly, I in particular, I find it, we have three actors, and it's an all trans, all Asian cast, an ensemble of folks. And I think what I've been thinking a lot about since I first read this play are the depictions of masculinity that it is, and why I feel like it's a really unique like snapshot of different gender expressions and performances of a certain type of masculinity that I just feel like exists in the world and exists in my peer group and my friend group and in my life in a really full and exciting way, but is so rarely depicted and explored on stage. Explicitly in a trans context, explicitly in an Asian context. I think there's a lot about this play that people can come to, like Reed is really saying too, to be gender questioning or gender confused or gender curious are three big things that I would be like, yes, if you're here and you're witnessing this and it's stirring up some of those emotions in your body, in the sensation of like growing up with or without siblings as you hurtled towards adulthood, I think all of those feelings being present and full, I would be so pleased if an audience like walked away. Like someone's gonna change their pronouns after the play. Like, let's just say that. Let's just say that. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. What? Is that too?
No,
No,
that's fair.
I like think that's just like a goal. It's more of like sort of a gift we give ourselves to like remain curious and question how we articulate ourselves and our identity to the people we love and then to total strangers. So, yeah.
Love that. And that leads to my final question for this first part, which is who do you hope have access to Isabel? And Keaton, I'm going to start first with you on that.
Who do I hope has access to Isabel? Wow. I feel I'm going to give a special shout out to Natco and TBD Casting Company who supported us in the casting search. I think some we did a national search in part to cast Isabel, and I think what was really exciting is getting to witness so many young trans actors, young Asian trans actors audition for this show and realize how hungry they were to read, like to read for a play that was like closer to their experience with gender and where they want to be performing from. So that was a huge gift. And so now to be able to bring this to full production, I do get excited about the idea of future productions and other people performing and taking and having this monologue and this text like in their wheelhouse. Like that is exciting to me. I feel that in terms of material, it is like robust and potent and exciting for that. In terms of ticket buyers and like audience, I'm like always want more access for people to have see theater at an affordable ticket price. I know right now Natco is running sort of like an ACFAS 30 code. I know we have $45 tickets, then we have a code for early ticket buyers for $30 through June 7th,
Yeah.
right? I don't even know what day of the week it is today. It's not June 7th yet. I don't know when this will drop, but maybe there'll be a new code. And then students have a discounted price. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone should have access to theater. Yeah, more gay and trans people at the theater always. Shout out to George Struss at Breaking the Binary, who's bringing a group from our community of artists at Breaking the Binary to come see the show. Yeah. What about you, Reed? Who do you want to have access?
Well, you bought me some time.
I did. I bought you some time by sort of being like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just like queer trans people who want to, who want to see kind of a less binary sort of imagining. And I know there's, a lot more queer theater out there now, which I'm very grateful for. And I feel like it helped me when I am still figuring stuff out. And I feel like to see that, yeah, just like younger, I think queer trans people also. A lot of people who
Younger
have.
queer cis people, asterisk.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure. Yeah, no,
Just
absolutely.
kidding.
No. I think that, yeah, you want people changing their
I
pronouns
do,
after the
I
show.
do. I want it. It is Pride Month after all.
Second part of our show, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I want to start by asking the two of you, what or who inspire you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or are just some of your favorites? And Keating, I'd like to kick this off with you first, if I may.
No, not me again, Andrew. Okay, wow, putting me on the spot. Okay, so my favorite artists that have inspired me. Woo, okay, wow. Oh my gosh, it's about to be. There's so many eras of that question. Sorry, this is really gonna divide us. This is really gonna. I am a secret musical theater lover.
And screaming.
I know. And Reed hates the dying. So I the work that I love to direct new plays by living playwrights, queer and trans stories. I come from a heavy devised theater background. I love to work with my clown friends, my puppet friends, anyone doing sort of theatrical experiments in space. But deep within me rages a musical theater lover beyond compare. And so I feel that I was really most inspired when I was really young by lots of musicals. And I, in particular, I feel like I sang Next to Normal way too much. I'd be like, I'm really going there. I'm like, I don't know why that's like present and on the heart. Yeah, Susan Egan singing Home in Beauty and the Beast. Shout out to Susan Egan. Susan Egan stands everywhere. Played Belle in Beauty and the Beast on Broadway. I know I have to tell you, Reed, what All right. I'm saying, but it's gorgeous. Home is an amazing song. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of artists that inspire me in a contemporary sense. I feel that I'm really inspired by Faye Driscoll's work as a choreographer and director and the Thank You for Coming series. I'm taking a lot of inspiration from alternative sources outside of my theater community. I identify as like a real big sports gay, so I really love the WNBA, the Women's National Basketball Association. I'm a New York Liberty fan. I've gone to the get home games at Barclays for this is my fourth season. And I grew up without much access to theater. I grew up with very little access to theater, but a lot of access to sports and team sports. So that was my first sort of collaborative art making. And sometimes I think I'm less of a suit and tie director and more of just like a sculptor or a coach. And yeah, I think those are the things that are really inspiring me. Recently, the movie Stress Positions by Theda Hamill really inspired me. Yeah, these are just what's up on the cusp.
Love those. Those are fabulous. Yes. Reed, how about you? Who inspires you?
I can't believe you already painted me as a musical theater hater, which is both true. And then I'm looking at like the poster of Fun Home that you have, Andrew, and I'm actually like, I have definitely cried to multiple songs in Fun Homes. So
you heard it here first. Stage with not. For podcast. This just in. Read. You sobbed to Fun Home.
I have.
What song?
You're not allowed to know that.
Okay. Oh.
And as a teenager, I was definitely into Spring Awakening. So
yes.
Yeah. No one else. No, I can't believe I said that. Okay, great. Let's not talk about music.
We must. Spring Awakening hit so hard. It's still revival win.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was definitely on Tumblr and they were definitely posting clips from, I think it was a Deaf West Spring Awakening revival. Mm-hmm. And I got way too into it. It's, mm-hmm. yeah. To be extremely online is never a good thing. Well, non-musical theater influences. I was thinking about this and I'm like, I don't want to be that bitch, but like Brecht,
for sure. I knew you were going to say Brecht. I didn't go there, but I knew you would say Brecht. And so I was happy. I was happy. Yes.
Oh, God. I mean, I guess more contemporaneously, like, I feel like I'm just listing off my friends who are playwrights, which is slightly embarrassing. But like, I love Nazar Fasan's work. They're a playwright. I think they have a poetry collection coming out soon. They're like a movement artist. They just do so many things. And their work is just in terms of language and just on the page, it just looks that the rhythm of it, like I just, yeah, absolute like admiration of Naz's work. And Lucas Beige too,
yes.
Who I think Kedian recently collaborated with.
Amazing.
You had like a little—
We did a little quick and dirty.
Yeah.
Lucas, Lucas writes, yeah. Yeah. Writes violence and systems into language in a way that is really, it like moves parts of my flesh. I get really excited thinking about it.
It does. And I also am like, I'm fully not smart enough to. No. Like if someone asked me a pointed question about his work, I'd be like,
what? This is such a secret. Should we have a secret talk back? Oh my God. Well, we should have Lucas come and talk back at Isabel.
We should, yes.
All right.
I love those inspirations as well, though. Those are fantastic. Let me ask the two of you, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Reed, I'd like to start first with you, if I may.
Before I started writing plays, I was writing poetry, and I think I just got bored of having that much control. I don't know. I think the beauty of theater is giving that up and working with people and being like, I don't actually want to be the person who decides everything or is doing everything or is like, I don't like that. I mean, I don't know if you'll get me because you're like, I don't believe you, but yeah, I think the great part about it is like being able to like see how other people see something, realize you didn't think about it that way before, and then being able to like shift and change and figure out something that you never have come up with just sitting, you know, sitting in a room alone.
Love that. Keedian, what about you? What is your favorite part?
Oh, I think my favorite part, I have like a my broad favorite part or thing that I like keep coming back to is there's always a moment in a process where something like clicks or shifts and it falls into place. And you've built like a vocabulary or a container or a language around the production that you're building, and everybody in the room can start to feel what works and like celebrate and feel excited about it. And I love those moments. I really crave when something like intangible, inexplicable, ephemeral becomes like when there's like, there's just so few moments in life where you get that like unison agreement or unison buy-in, like a sensation or a feeling. And because of the art form and live performance and the way that we work, when you're in process with so many talented artists, designers, technicians, production managers, and people read the play on the page, they attend rehearsal, they're arts workers, they're doing their jobs. And then there's moments of process that lift up and celebrate like, but that's the only choice, or that's the right choice, or oh my gosh, that blew my mind. I keep coming back to those moments because I'm always like, well, there isn't one choice and there isn't always a right. But if you set like this guideline or playground or shape and you have buy-in from the team that's what you're working with, there's like a feeling happens and then everyone starts to want to access or like celebrate that. And I love those moments always surprise me. They always come in the best of processes and the worst of processes. Like you can't stop that from happening because it is live theater, and at a certain point, like you're on stage and everyone like have any emotional reaction you want, but do it now. It's like so happening. So
that is a beautiful answer. Thank you for that. Thank you both for those. And now we've arrived at my favorite question to ask guests. And that of course is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Okay, I'll say mine. I got one. Okay. It also ties to somebody working on the production. One of my favorite theater memories that has ever happened is I was working on a touring production of a musical called A Ride on the Irish Cream, which was written by collaborator and friend Aaron Markey, an incredible artist. And we were touring this show to Chicago. And a dear friend, Barbara Samuels, was the lighting designer, who is also the lighting designer for Isabel and is one of my favorite lighting designers working in New York City. Shout out to Barbara Samuels. We were at this venue in Chicago. I'm wearing a leotard. I'm backstage. I'm like the choreography coordinator, ASM, PA. Like I'm doing 8 roles. I've trained all these leotard girls to dance this dance. The power grows out and we like flip a breaker. And it goes out. And so we lose access to like half the grid of lights. And I'm on sort of headset with Barbara and I'm wearing this leotard, which I would literally never wear a leotard now. I can't even believe that I wore tights and it's horrifying to even think about it. But Barbara was like, oh, you need to flip the breaker. And I was like, okay, I can do it. Like, where is it? Barbara was like, directly behind the audience risers, like underneath on the back wall. And so I'm just in my little leotard crawling out from backstage behind the audience risers all the way back there to like flip it back on. Yeah, that's just one of my favorite theater memories, to like flip it back on, to get access to power on the grid, to keep the show going on. And yeah, I just, yeah, it's, yeah, there's so many different hats. I feel like, Andrew, you said it when you introduced yourself to us about being like an actor and wardrobe dresser and your wife being like a wig artist. And there's just so many of us wear so many multi-hyphenate roles in order to shape our lives as arts workers. And that was just a really funny particular touring moment and brought me a lot closer to Barbara, who, like I said, is the best lighting designer in New York City, hands down, full stop. So you heard it here on the Stage Whisper podcast. So come see Barbara Samuels' lighting design at Abrams Art Center at NatCo's production of Isabel, June 20th through July 6th.
Yes, I love that memory. Wow.
Ew.
Reed, what is your favorite theater memory?
I mean, mine truly is not as dramatic as yours. And I was like truly trying to think of one while you were telling your very amazing story. And it's actually as an audience member, and it is about you and Sagan. So this is definitely after we met, but like I saw when you did your Soho Rep Writer Director Lab show, and the moment that Sagan appears on stage, because Sagan, who is in the show, is playing a black hole in this other play. And I think Sagan's entrance is there's curtains. And then I think Sagan peeks through with just their face. And I remember that moment because I'm like, who is that? I want to cast that person. And yeah, I don't know how to describe that. What you did with staging of it, but I just remember Sagan's face like
Yeah.
this. And that is beautiful.
And now you have Sagan starring in your play.
I do.
Yeah. Sagan Chen, everybody, as Matt in
That's
Isabel.
amazing. That's an amazing memory. Oh, I love that. I love both of those. Thank you both so much for sharing those with us.
Thank you.
Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know if our listeners would like more information about Isabel or about either of you. Maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Yeah.
What's your Instagram?
Oh yeah, we're on Instagram. I'm at Just Kedian, JustKedian, at Just Kedian on Instagram, Twitter, also justkedian@gmail.com. So, and justkedian.com. So I'm really Just Kedian on all platforms. So easy to find and track down.
Yeah, don't look for me on Instagram. I'm not on Instagram. You can just go to my website, which is just my name, retang.com.
Wonderful. Well, Reed, Kedian, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me today, for sharing this fabulous work and all of your amazing insight. This has been such a joy. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Andrew. Oh my gosh, we really appreciate it. Thanks for getting the word out about Isabel and all shows and doing this.
Thank you so much for that. My guests today have been the amazing playwright Reed Tang and the fabulous director Kedian Cohen, who joined me to talk about NatCo and Long Wharf Theater's presentation of their new work, Isabel. It's playing June 20th through July 6th at the Abrams Arts Center, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting natco.org. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media post. But come on out, join us for this incredible new work. It's going to be a great, great time at the theater. Again, the show is Isabel, playing June 20th through July 6th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
And keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.